first to one of the big weather vanes, dare I say, in terms of attitude to governance here and elsewhere. That's the stocks and shares trade. And there's been much scrutiny of ours and US traders' behaviour for the impact of the Trump administration. Our market notched up a blinder of a week. Now, many listeners will either take an active or passive interest in these sorts of movements, but given their impact on our superannuation, for instance, more of us are probably keeping an eye on things anyway. One recent revolution within the investing sector may have escaped your attention, though, but it's apparently transforming attitudes among a wide range of people and affecting these end-of-week trading news lists. That's exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, which last year had a total value within Australia of over $30 billion for the first time. And the evidence suggests money's continuing to pour into these disruptors, the word of the moment, both among older people but also millennials, because they're seen as avoiding the big fees often associated with more traditional outlets. So to bring us up to date with this relatively new development and why it matters, could I welcome back Ian Verinder, the ABC's business editor. Welcome, Ian.
Hi, Geraldine.
What are these ETFs precisely?
Well, it's a little bit like the machines taking over. This is another example of new technology taking over the jobs of human beings. And what they are is essentially an algorithm, a mathematical formula that it's a product that you can buy, but it directs your money into investments. And
into a whole index, I guess.
Yeah. So let's say you want to invest in the Australian stock market, but you don't know what stocks to buy. You don't know. You put your money into, say, the Australian stock market exchange traded fund, and what it will do is it will allocate your money according to, let's say it's the top 200 companies that you decide to invest in. So if BHP takes up 10% of the top 200, 10% of your money will go into BHP. If the Commonwealth Bank takes up 9% of your of the top 200, 9% of your money will go into this Commonwealth Bank. So it's a mathematical formula.
And you give them the guidance as to how you want your money spent.
Well, it depends which fund you buy. You might buy one for the whole All Ordinaries market. You might buy one for the top 200.
For the metals index or metals.
Yeah, right. And or even physical gold, whatever, but for stock exchange instruments, it will allocate your money according to the mathematical formula of which companies are the biggest. So, you know, most of your money will go into the biggest company and the smallest amount of money will go into the smallest company. And that in that way, it will track the market absolutely.
So it's not aiming to beat the market,
no.
Which is what a lot of people are sort of offered, you know, as a product. Oh, we'll beat the index.
Well, that's the difference between these things and the kind of funds that human beings run, funds managers. Now, they all promise to beat the market, but they rarely do in the longer term. You know, some funds managers will have a great year one year and not so good year the next year. Some will beat the market for 5 years and then have an absolute shocker. But all the research points to the fact that in the longer term, human beings do not beat the market. They simply, the best they can really do over the long term, say a 10-year period, is track the index. But the problem is you pay enormous fees to these people who promise to beat the market. And then you find that, well, they haven't really done that over the longer term. So these instruments, you'd pay very little in the way of fees for
them.
So
what, they are cheaper than the
Immensely cheaper.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because they don't take all those fees out, over the longer term, you end up better off.
They are traded, as I understand it, at the end of each day. They're in effect a share in the share, aren't they?
Yeah, that's exactly what they are, yeah. And so they're a share, they're traded every day. You can buy and sell them just like shares. So when you buy into an exchange-traded fund, these instruments are actually traded on the stock exchange themselves, but they're investing in the stock exchange.
Mm. Mm. So they're obviously taking money from existing outlets. I mean, there must be a lot of fear about them for people who earn a lot of money from people.
Well, the funds managers hate them, of course, you know, because it's taking money out of their portfolio, and they often earn a fee based on the size of their funds. So if they had a $10 billion fund and it's now down to five, then they're earning less in fees as a result of that.
And this is all a post-crisis phenomenon, is it?
No, look, these things were first set up in about 1993. And so they've been growing in popularity really in the past decade or so. And, you know, in Australia, something like 100,000 super funds are invested in these instruments. And we've seen a big rise in the last couple of years. I think last year, Australian self-managed super funds rose about 31%. They put, you know, 31% more into these instruments.
That.
Yeah.
So the big question, do they make the system more volatile or more stable? I mean, in terms of a lot of us thinking about the system and where we go next, that's a pretty key question.
Look, there's two answers to that. The argument in favour is that they add liquidity, right, into the market. People who feel that they're not expert enough to invest in particular individual stocks, they can buy these sort of instruments and they'd be ordinarily not in the market. The big problem is that the amount of money that's flowing into them is two big problems. One is exchange traded funds don't turn up to the annual meetings of companies where the directors need to be held account and ask the hard questions. Whereas active funds managers who run funds who are not very happy with the fact that they've put money into a particular company, the directors haven't done a very good job. Mm. They often turn up and say, what have you done with our money and why have you done this? So they don't hold companies to account. That's one problem. The other big concern now is that there's so much money in these things, something like $4.4 trillion worldwide, that the machines who are running, the algorithms, the computers that are running these investment programs simply piggyback off one another. So as the market rises and as they put more money in, but of course, as the market starts to fall, they start selling because they're algorithm driven. And so
emotion free.
That's right. And so, well, the big fear is if we have a major market shakeout, these things could really make it far worse. So accelerate the selling.
I noticed Stephen Bartholomew's from Business Spectator has been tracking this a bit, and he quoted the heads of the Bank of England and the German Bundesbank really weighing in, and the Financial Times did a big series just before Christmas. Mark Carney from the UK seemed to be welcoming them, feeling it would create a more resilient and productive financial system. Jens Weidemann seemed to be a little more concerned about the impact on traditional banks and, say, mutual funds, which underpin big pension systems, especially in the US. And the overall verdict seems to be it's too premature to say just what their impact's going to be.
Well, we'll know if we get, the next time we do get a big market shakeout, you know, if we get a market crash, and, you know, crashes happen. They might only happen every 20 years or so, but they certainly happen. So the next time we get one, you've seen the frenzy of human beings trying to sell out of stocks when markets are collapsing. If you've got algorithm traded stock exchanges where you've got computers just suddenly going sell, 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 sell all at once, the fear is that it will exaggerate a fall.
Who should avoid them? Who should be attracted to them?
Look, I think they're a good idea. I really do. I mean, because if you think about longer term, if you're a small investor, they're immensely attractive because you don't pay the big fees and you can get longer term, the compound return on your investment will be greater. Because they're so successful, that's where the problem might lie.
Ian Verinder, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Ian is the ABC's business editor.